movies enter, one movie leaves as we watch Two Rooms, one that won an Academy Award, the other one possibly the next Rocky Horror Picture Show, all on today's There Can Be Only One podcast. Welcome to another There Can Be Only One podcast where we watch two movies with the same name, determine which one actually deserves the name, and throw the other one in the trash. We'll never see it again, so no need to worry about it. My name is Robert Rowell, and joining me today are...
Herman Omega Prime Davis.
And...
Nick Gariano.
Yay, we got three people. All right, so this one's a special one for me, as all of them are. Like, all the ones at the beginning are going to be special just because we cherry-picked them. Nobody else really... has any say in this, and I have no problem doing this. These are two movies that I think everyone can get involved with. Let's do a survey. Am I the only person that has seen both of these films?
Yes.
Am I the only person that has seen at least one of these films?
Yes.
Yes.
Both of you have not seen either one.
No.
Okay. The one that came out last year, Room, won an Academy Award for Brie Larson. Best Actress. It is very emotional. It is not the usual Oscar trap, other than I am going to find it hard to watch it again. But it is a really good movie, as opposed to some of the other ones, like The Danish Girl. I don't know if you watched that last year, about the first transsexual out there. That really felt very heavy-handed. It just didn't seem appropriate the way that they treated the material. And it didn't feel entertaining, like many Oscar-nominated films do. Like, it feels like a chore when you watch it, especially if you want to watch all the Oscar-nominated films. Room, on the other hand, took a situation that is relatively new in everyone's mind. I don't want to go into it too much without you guys, since you haven't seen it, you want this to be kind of fresh.
Whoa.
And gave it an interesting spin. You cover your ears, audience. I know, I'm not going to say anything more than that. There's a very limited cast in it. It is, I think the best way to put it is if you've ever seen Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, that's a movie where it takes Hamlet and puts it in the perspective of two characters that, well, don't do it for that. Come on, if you haven't, unless you're just picking your ears,
no,
never mind.
Scratching.
Oh, okay, so in Hamlet, there's two characters named Rosencrantz and Guildenstern that die off screen that are not important other than they were friends of Hamlet and they were supposed to try to gain his trust. So they decide to have an entire movie based around those characters, and they saw Hamlet in their own way. And that's interesting enough. So Room kind of has that same sort of perspective. The Room, on the other hand, is a completely different movie. It is a something I've seen live three times. It is a fantastic watch
live?
With a lot of... Yes,
what?
Live. Well, okay. with the main characters in attendance watching it,
okay.
they're forced to watch it almost on a nightly basis, while we just watch it once and make fun of how bad the movie is. They've developed a routine in the film that makes it very much like a Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's not of that level, but there's a very big chasm between Rocky Horror and the next thing. And the only other movie I can compare it to is if you see The Big Lebowski live. Because I've been to Lebowski Fest as well, which is just a celebration of that movie. And all they ever do is quote the movie either a half second before or a half second after the line is said. It's never on time because they're drunk. So it's usually just something, you know, they'll just say, you know, something around there. It's like, you know, yeah, it'll be like, shut the fuck up, Donnie! And then they say, shut the fuck up. They start yelling out everywhere. So that's essentially what happens with that movie. The Room, on the other hand, has props. It has people doing specific things in the film, and we can go over those rules once we watch that, but we're going to watch The Room. I mean, we're going to watch Brie Larson's Room first.
Yes, Brie Larson.
Yes.
Who's kind of a fan of. I mean, I remember her from Scott
Possibly
Pilgrim.
The next Captain Marvel.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that'd be interesting. She could fit that role. I've been reading that comic book lately. Remember her as playing Envy Adams on Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and her scene that she was introduced as Envy Adams with the whole song in, and I was like, damn, that's a nice song, and I had to look up, I can't remember the artist's name, but...
Metric.
There you go, see? And it was like, it was just...
I had the soundtrack.
It was kind of mesmerizing a little bit, the way that scene was shot.
But she sang it.
She did sing.
Yeah, it was just metric song. That's all it was. Like the entire going into a movie we're not watching today, but Scott Pilgrim. What the entire soundtrack was done by a couple of artists that were like it was Beck and a dude from Broken Social Scene, and they wrote most of the songs for Scott Pilgrim, but he still performed it. Mm-hmm. Like they still had the actors perform it. I think the kid. Who's the main kid who plays Scott Pilgrim? He actually knows how to play bass. Like, he had to actually lower his bass skills.
You know what's fucked up is? I know his name, but when you were snapping your fingers, you made me forget.
I want to say John Cena, but that ain't right. Michael Cera, that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, John Cena out of nowhere!
Michael Cena. But, in the movie, which I'm surprised we're talking about another movie because we don't really get off topic too much in this podcast.
Never. Never.
But, they actually was, like, doing a good job of, I thought, like, with Crossroads, we thought Ralph Macchio wasn't really playing, but he actually was playing, and I was like, man,
yeah, he was Michael, in
Menudo. Yeah, Michael Cino is actually playing these the bass guitar, getting down with it.
Yeah, yeah. No, he wasn't in Menudo.
He was in some band, wasn't he? It was like
good
in a boy
Lord.
Band.
No, he was like in The Outsiders. That was about it. No, he's an actor. That kid's
he was
an actor.
A musician, too, though, before he was an actor, wasn't he?
No. He
thought he was.
Born an actor. He came out
he
of that
born
womb.
An actor? He's like, why? How's that guy? Did I got cry right? Why?
I can't, I make him an offer I can't refuse. Why? He was born an actor, of course.
Okay.
No, I don't think he was. Menudo didn't play their instruments, by the way, okay? They were
singers,
just,
though.
Yeah. Oh, that doesn't make him an artist.
I think he was in Gorillaz.
He's as much of an artist as those people that work for Subway. They're not artists,
yes,
okay? They just have
sir.
The title.
Well, I have artists. Two points to interject there. One, you don't have to play the instrument in the band to be able to play an instrument. And two, Subway artists are most definitely artists.
Booyah.
Whatever.
I mean... All right. Next time you go to Subway,
you have never seen me make a sandwich, sir. It is a thing.
You don't think that those Dagwood sandwiches are artistic?
No, not from Subway. You're wasting your time at that awful location.
This is like the Ratatouille definition. Not everyone can be an artist, but anyone can be an artist.
Sorry, there was hair. I was motoring away from that.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. So, all right. So we're gonna watch both of these.
Where's your hair?
Two blind viewers. One that will be might be bored during the first one. We'll see.
You or me?
Probably me, most likely.
Herman has, especially when it comes to films that win awards or considered like the films you got to see before you die, has a tendency to yawn. He's got coffee, he's got donuts, he's all prepped right now.
Yeah.
Like he is a bustling fuel of energy, but the moment that movie starts, he might just
can't
go
tell
right
by
out.
My energy on the mic.
Yeah! He's just running around.
No, but
he is powering the devices that we have by being in a hamster wheel right now, just going in it right now.
It's not that I don't get bored with award-winning films. I get bored with boring films. And like some of these films like you must watch. Like, we don't watch Safe. You must watch. You might possibly movie of the 90s. Bullshit. Like, come on. That man, please. The only way you should watch that movie is if you have a hard time falling asleep.
I can appreciate when people do new things in movies. But that doesn't mean I got to watch the whole thing, sounds like.
All right. So, but based off of either Room or The Room, once again, we're cheating a little bit on this. But that's fine. I have no problem with that whatsoever.
That's 2 weeks
based,
in a row.
Yeah. Last week was... Nothing But Trouble, which was not a cheat.
Okay.
Yeah, Deadpool and The Deadpool was a cheat. Yes, this is
really?
The same way.
It's mm-hmm. just an article. I think that's okay.
Yeah, we're okay because they're films we want to see. It's not a big deal.
Tell that to the British. They don't like articles.
Yeah, that's right. Down with articles. They were in the streets. That's what Martin Luther pinned to that church, right? You had a problem with the, right?
I have no idea what you're talking about, sir.
The Protestant.
The Magna Carta. 1215.
Okay.
Well,
Martin Luther was the Protestant Reformation.
Whatever. Who cares?
that is not the Magna Carta, sir.
I have seen the Room.
The
I think I know what I'm talking
album?
About.
The album? Magna Carta?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I listened to it. It's good.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
A real thing.
So based off of just a title of mm-hmm. Room or The Room, what do you expect to see in it or them to say?
I expect to see full walls.
All right.
That was going to be my exact comment as well. Maybe a door or a window?
Is there any expectations? Is there anything else that it needs to live up to for it to be that sort of title for a movie? Is this a experience that you want to happen in one place? Like, do you expect this to be a play? where it's all in one location, or is this title going to be its own character? Like the what are you looking at? Because that is like when asked questions why this is the title for their films. This is the answer that they have given.
Oh, I was just saying that depends on what the room is, Robert, because it could be like a bathroom or a bedroom or a living room.
No, if it was, it would say the bathroom or the bedroom or the it's the room. That's different. The room is the central location of everything that happens.
When I see a movie name like this, I want to feel like the reason why they came up with the name was because the room was very important for the movie. Like, if you call it the room, but you could have filmed it in the park or something like that. Like, why did you call it the room? So I just wanted to be like, either movie to be like, okay, that room is, that's a fucked up room, basically. Like, come on, man. Damn, that room.
Saw? Would you say Saw could have been called the room?
Yeah, Saw could have definitely called the room because it took place in one setting.
Right.
You know? And I mean, the Saw only made an appearance basically at the, well, it was there the whole time, but it only was important at the very, very end.
Uh huh. But that's like wait. When you're saying
it back to something that happened in the room, and the story just revolves around what happened in it, I guess you could have multiple sets. Just be like this: everyone dealing with something that happened in a room. I don't know. And then them retelling their stories like
don't know from somewhere. You guys don't. I haven't even let you see a preview of this. No, thing. You're going in madness.
The only thing I know about it is. We're watching the Brie Larson vehicle first, right?
Yes, we're watching the Academy Award, the actual this is beloved film, not one that has like a 3.2 or whatever on IMDb.
The only thing I know about it is Brie Larson's in it. Her and her boy or some other kid are basically confined in the room, and they're basically they stay there for I don't even know how many years. So that's basically all I know about the film so far.
Okay, so Room has an 8.3 on IMDb. The Room has a 3.5.
What? Oh, man.
So together we get around a 10. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. You know, like that old trick where it's like when you're trying to, if you're having a threesome, if they add up to a 10, then it works out. So.
Yeah, unless you one is a negative 5.
Oh, wow. Then the other one's a 15?
Shit. Have you met that's not bad. Categorized as a negative 5?
Are you adding yourself in this as well, Herman?
If I add myself in, that'd be affinity.
Oh, or an affinity toward yourself. Is that?
Yeah. That'd be a weird reason.
You with two other yous? Is that what you're trying to come up with?
Yeah, you never
is had, that what wait, would I'm break the universe?
They had that dream? Like, no, you never had that dream?
I've had that dream where I've seen you have sex with two other yous. Yes, I have.
That is more disturbing than him having it, yes.
Have we ever had that dream?
Jeez, yeah, man. I mean, I thought everybody had that dream.
No.
No.
I believe that is the textbook definition of narcissism.
Look it up. I got my picture right there by it, you know.
But your name's Omega Prime. There's only one of you, man.
Yeah.
Prime.
Well, that's... Yeah. It's irony, like the Lone Rangers.
Yeah, sure. I don't think you've seen Airheads. Have you seen Airheads?
Oh, my bad.
No,
with Brendan Fraser, Adam Sandler.
A long time ago when I was like 7 or 8, whenever.
long time ago, in a valley far, far away. Yeah. When it came on Comedy Central, nonstop, as opposed to what's playing now? Let's say the campaign. That plays a lot. So... But really? Yeah, at one time it used to play a lot on
TV. I think
a
lot of that movie did cut out.
Who cares? Being one of the dicks and stuff. I don't know. Oh, I thought this was our whispering time. Sorry. All right, so we're going to watch the first Room, not The Room. Play a little preview for you guys, get you in the mood, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. All right? You guys ready? Let's do this.
Okay.
Let's go.
Bring it on.
Be back.
Truck. Wiggle out. Jump. Run. Somebody.
I'm scared.
I know. I'm gonna be there in your head talking to you the whole time.
Truck. Wiggle out.
And we're back!
Got
you distracted once again. We're watching The Room. Just Room, not The Room. Watch Room with Brie Larson, Joan Allen, William H. Macy, and a kid who might have been 7 at the time. But the whole thing, for those of you that are unfamiliar with the movie, is you have a girl that was kidnapped and kept in captivity for numerous years. Seven, I think, is what they're going. No, we're done with that. Like, if you've gone this far, and that's the description. There's nothing. The spoiler will be saying they got out, and they did get out. Because they had that on the trailer. The trailer was kind enough to spoil as much as possible of the movie because nobody likes surprises. And it's still a very tense scene when he jumps out of the truck whenever the kid's running away.
Because I didn't think he was going to. I thought he was going to get recaptured and he was going to go back there and beat her ass, you know?
Yeah. It looked bad. Well, it had me worried about what would happen to her because you're just looking at it from his point of view the entire time. So, and I think that's what makes it better than say, another film that could be, especially something as emotional as a film like this, is you're watching it through the eyes of a five-year-old that was born while she was being captured. And that's all he knows, is he knows Room. He doesn't know anything else. So he thinks everything's all hunky-dory because that's just the way life is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it's tough to captivate that to any sort of angle. Like, I've read books where they talk about this sort of thing a lot, where someone sees it from an outside perspective of what's happening, and they say, oh, you poor person, where the guy just says, well, that's all I've known. How am I the poor person on this?
I was just talking about this last week with somebody, because we was talking about somebody, how they live and stuff, and I was like, ignorance is bliss. I mean, people get mad with the word ignorance because people are like, oh, you calling me stupid or not? No, we ain't calling you stupid. We're just saying that you're
uneducated.
They're
ignorant on the definition of ignorance?
Basically, most of the time. Well, that's how it be. It seems like an insult, you know, calling somebody ignorant, but I'd rather be called ignorant than stupid, because if I'm ignorant about something, you can educate me about it.
Right.
And basically, the kid is ignorant about how real life is. And throughout the movie, he starts to mature and start to ask questions. And once Brie Larson's character realized that we really got to get out of here, she starts to... Well, I don't know if she realized it or because he was just old enough now that he could actually understand and help out in the escape and how they escaped out the place. And I won't ruin it for nobody because it was pretty interesting to escape. But it was interesting. I had to laugh throughout the movie sometimes because, like, basically at one point...
Because you like that, you find all that stuff funny. I understand.
Yeah. No, he was trying to figure out...
I had to laugh.
he was trying to figure out what was real and what was not real in his mind. And anything that he could see or touch was real. But anything that he saw on TV, he automatically assumed was fake. And I guess at one point, every time old Nick came into the shade of a room, she always put him in a closet away from old Nick. She didn't want old Nick touching him or seeing him at all. So he only seen old Nick halfway, like from the waist down. That's the only way he could see him. So he thought old Nick was half real. And I just found that funny. I don't know. Nobody else laughed at that joke. But, you know, I'm weird like that sometimes.
Sure. Because you don't have the capability to touch something, you don't find it real. No, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But you remarked that the kid actually did a good job. If you go on IMDb, he's listed in at least five more things, including he will be playing kid number four in Donald Trump's The Art of the Deal, the movie.
Wow.
Kid number four. Man, this dude's not...
Or kid four. There might be just a kid named four. I just figured he'd be the fourth kid.
And
that's all.
And just a brain about the Oscars. I'm like, I understand kid actors, you know, you don't know if they really are acting or they don't give them enough credit. Because
Herman understands kids actors. Yeah. He's a kid whisperer.
Yeah.
Yo, kid, you do what you got to do.
The kid put in a good performance, and all you heard about this movie was Brie Larson. And I'm like, I'm not saying that her performance wasn't bad. It was... All right, but
it needed to have,
you know,
a good performance by two actors. Yes, I understand.
It was strong, but I mean, if the kid sucked in this movie, this movie would have sucked.
Sort of like Jungle Book, which is a problem I had.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've seen Jungle Book or not. It is a great film. I enjoyed the way that they shot it. It was a very well use of, or especially, I mean, you have Disney, so you have so much of that technology that they use for their movies to make it look like as realistic as possible. And it was a great film, except for the kid that played Mowgli. He was, ugh.
Tell us what you really think, Robert.
Kids. But, all right, so based off...
I actually think it...
Like, yeah, well, Nick, how'd you think about this?
I got caught a little bit on, like, the longer thread talking about, you know, piggybacking on a little bit what you were saying about, you know... Like if she was a good parent by keeping him there.
Or the, like, the interviewer.
Well, not even that, but even when you're talking about like when she was, you know, just...
There was something that I didn't catch the first time watching that I caught the second time when he mentioned that she was a zombie for 2 years. So that was more about her living for something as opposed to anybody else. So she basically needed him in her life and never thought of it any other way. And that's probably why she wanted to kill herself.
Because
she was basically considering this as a very selfish act.
Right. And so, like, as a matter of, like, yes, she was there to take care of him, but, like, he also was keeping her alive in her head. So, like, that was the selfish part, and, like, she sent him to go save both of them by jumping out of the truck. And, you know, then whenever they got out, it was just like, okay, well, am I taking care of him to take care of him, or, you know what I mean, is it trying to save me, basically? I think that's probably what probably made her kind of crazy, to be honest.
As a grown man, I don't think I'd make that jump out of the bed of a truck. I'd be as gentle as possible. I'd want the bed, you know, I'd want it open, unlatched, and just kind of crawl out there. Yeah. Feeling my way underneath, and he hurdled that thing.
No, but with your kid, I mean, as a grown man, yeah, but I was a kid, I jumped out of a bag of a moving truck.
I'm not going to lie, I've jumped out of a truck.
How many bags of the moving trucks have you jumped out of?
He's pretty lucky to have, like, a single scratch on his knee, because I've jumped out of a truck, and that doesn't always end very well.
I jumped off the top of a house before. We used to do that for fun.
With an umbrella or what?
No, we just jumped off.
Did you have a cape on?
Roof of a house, like
I jumped onto a fun bounce once off a house.
I don't know. We
for fun.
For fun. That's, hey,
ha ha! Look, hey, Herman, he's hurt.
Two stars high, man.
Oh, this is the best day ever. Herman is
so
hurt.
So you're telling us is you're really bionic?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Don't ask me why, and that's why I had to pause and laugh at myself for a second, because I was like, I actually did do that dumb shit.
Wow, I
one crazy story. You know how bridges go up and stuff, like not like the Mississippi River Bridge, but we used to, as kids, used to ride big bikes to the top of the bridge and come down in oncoming traffic. So it sounds bad. See, it sounds bad talking it out.
No, when you say it out loud, it is in fact bad.
When you were 8 years old, it was fun.
Herman Davis, father of three children, telling everybody what's okay.
It was fun when I was 8. Now, see, I would never let my kids do it, but it was like.
And yet you keep protesting.
No, it was fine. It was okay.
Let kids be kids, goddammit.
Did you agree to this interview, Herman? Is that
no? I should have let my lawyer and read this shit before I got into this. God damn it!
All right, so I think the most important thing, at least at the beginning, at least tied to this podcast, the important thing to do is determine: is Room the appropriate title? Is there another title that you were while watching this movie thinking, "Oh, we should call it that instead"?
It could have been about, like, kidnapping. That may not be the vocabulary word of choice, but,
kidnapped.
Well, maybe we should, like, pit this against Taken and see which one should get the name.
Nah. But, okay, when they say Room, and I'm trying to stop saying duh, but Room, the way, especially the kid,
it's like a
referred
person.
To it, yeah, it was a person. It was like, you know.
That's why he said goodbye at the end, because everything, like, he had no friends, so, like, the objects were his friends.
Yeah, so it fits the movie, because the Room is, like, it was what they escaped from. You know, like, Room is the evil guy. Old Nick wasn't the evil guy.
It's definitely the direct object of the movie, yeah.
And it's not necessarily the Room itself was evil, but creating Room in itself, like, having to have the sanity to say this is what your life is. Like, that is what they thought of it. Like, everything else was space. This was Earth. This was their house. This was everything. That this is all they knew. And after that, there was so much else to know once they got into the real world. And as you pointed out, whenever they eventually got rescued was only the halfway point. And you went, ah, geez, how is this the halfway point? There's so much more?
Yeah, I was like,
well, that was interesting subtext, too, is, like, it is the Room, or it's Room. It's just like a name. It's almost like a person. Like, everybody has their own perspective on people. And, like, you know, you might think someone's awesome, they're your friend, and someone else may hate them.
Yeah.
It was kind of like the same thing in the movie. Like, it was its own persona. And, like, obviously the mom was kidnapped and trapped, and it was kind of hellish for her. But for him, it's just like, oh, this is where all my friends live.
Wait, what's
like, the chair and the sink and the wardrobe, and it was a completely different person.
What's Seinfeld neighbor, Lewis? You know, that maybe that, like, you know how you say somebody's name, like,
Kramer?
Newman.
Newman.
Newman. That's what the room is, like, Newman.
But they escaped. More importantly, they escaped, and the room wasn't even featured in half of the rest of the movie up until the very end, whenever they felt like they needed closure. And at least the kid did.
He said bye.
Yeah, he did. He said bye. And we said bye to the movie. The movie started rolling the credits after that point. So it does have the, like, if you're looking at this film, it does have only half of it with room in it. Which means maybe it doesn't deserve to have that title of Room. Does it deserve something else instead?
It could be Real Life or Half Room or Escape from the Room or...
I feel like the first half is about Room. The second half is about space, which is them accepting what Room is now. What their life is now. So it could be, if we're going to get existential about the whole thing.
But it's coming to terms with Room, like the second half. I mean, it's still the direct object of the movie in the second half, saying like it's everything is still using that as a reference point. So
yeah, this film is very much like a Nazi scientist's wet dream, where he just happened upon this odd experiment that lasted for 7 years.
I made fun of my wet dreams with my... threesome of myself, right. And you talking about Nazi scientist
no,
wet dream?
No, like, you still win, sir.
I'm like, what? Okay.
No. It's because they did so many odd experiments. For this to actually exist in the world, it has something unique about it. You don't know what's going to happen afterwards. Mm-hmm. Introducing someone to a reality that wasn't there, for example, if we didn't realize this was it, which it is. Mm-hmm. Right now, all we have is Earth. If there was an alien race were to come down and say, okay, we've been doing this experiment the whole time. Now we'll remove the covers. We've just been blocking you from everybody that existed out there. So there's like a whole new world out there that you didn't know existed, and they did it just as a way to experiment to see how you would react to something like that. If you knew you could go to a different society or world in minutes that was out there that didn't exist, would you still be here? Would you still want
to
be here?
Who have you been talking to? Who let you into the secret?
The secret.
It was much less depressing when they called it the Truman Show.
I've been writing on posters and doing all... Yeah. So you basically
That's the definition of allegorical. Right. An allegory, though, is like just opening your eyes to something new.
Right.
It doesn't have to be a room or four walls or the planet you're on or whatever. It's just... I mean, you could say the same thing for going to college. You open your eyes. Most people, when your first year in college, is just like, it's a new world, because you don't live in high school with the same 20 people you went to school with your whole life.
New world. Yeah, people do it all the time. Like, people, I get tired of people say, oh, I don't eat sushi. I don't eat this. I don't eat that. I say, well, have you ever tried it? No. I say, well, you can't say you don't know if you don't like it or not, because you just don't want to open yourself to it. It's just...
You really should stop just handing them sushi, though. That
it's very wasteful. Come on.
It's good, though. But
Herman has this chef hat, and he walks around with a plate of food all the time. So, here, try sushi.
Yeah.
So if you ever see him, it is, in fact, safe, just to let you know.
Yeah, you think so, huh? Okay. Yeah, I think it's safe.
But all right. No, it's something to think about when we watch the second movie.
I'm going to say this, but one more thing about the... Okay. The one thing I thought about, since it was Ohio, and... The guy who wrote the book say it wasn't based on that, but remember the thing that happened in Cleveland with the girls got rescued and stuff?
Yes.
And, like, the movie kind of opened my mind. I never thought about the kids' point of view of this, because those girls did have kids by their captors.
Right.
And the movie made me think, like, you always thinking about, oh, it's so nice that person got rescued and stuff, but then you realize, like, oh, wait a minute, the kid actually been held captive all their life, so they don't know that they was actually in harm. Their mother was getting raped on a nightly basis. They didn't realize how horrific these things was. So,
sure,
I give the movie credit for opening my eyes to that train of thought. You know?
Okay.
The other thing I was thinking a minute ago is that this guy he did not seem like the brightest bulb in, like, the cabinet. Like,
this guy's not.
Well, I mean, just he seemed almost indifferent to the situation most of the time, just like, la 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 la, I guess I should wander out to the shed now. Or, like, it didn't seem very purposeful. Like, most people you think, well, you know, have got something not right upstairs, or they're just bad people. He was just kind of, like, chilling in life, and he just happened to have a shed with a person in it or something.
He did it for 7 years.
Yeah, it was odd, like, the perspective and whatever.
Once you're doing something for 7 years, it becomes second nature. It's not anything, like, you stop losing that heightened sense of reality that you watch from, like, Bruckheimer stuff, where everything is important. It's part of everyday life. That's essentially what he was trying to create.
He didn't seem like a mastermind, like, that would be able to put up a door, like, oh, I should put a locking mechanism in forethought, and all of the other things that went into it. Soundproofed inside, and I mean, like, he just didn't seem like the sort to, like, have thought everything through like that ahead of time, is all I was saying.
Okay.
No.
You're not looking for someone to be the brightest person. You just got to look for somebody that wants to create a scenario where they have their ideal life is what they think is going to be ideal.
And
they just go through, like, well, what do I need to do? And God knows if he actually tried this before. That's the one thing that they never brought up. Is maybe he did this before and had to kill the girl because she escaped. So he's like, well, maybe the round two I'll do this.
I don't know. He seemed a little bit bumbling about the concept of death, though.
Well, that's the thing. Being bright or intelligent is so subjective. He may not be, like, we might not want him on our trivia team or nothing like that.
He's a kidnapping savant.
Basically, yeah. If you maybe you're not smart enough to be on a trivia team or get a master's degree or something, but if you have a set of skills... Like, you might know how to work on a car. You might be the best mechanic in the world and stuff, but I'm not going to call you if I'm on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and I'm on the Million Dollar Question. I'm not calling you.
Yeah, the dudes that kidnap the girls that we've seen that, like, over an extended period of time, they're not smart individuals, but they know how to create or manipulate the situation. They don't necessarily have to be smart. They just need to be good at what they do, and that's what he does.
Yeah. That's what he does.
All right, so enough about this. This is going down the what if this, blah, blah. It's not about that. That this whole movie is not about that whole scenario anyway.
What if Luke became the thing?
Yes, what if?
Okay. So what other titles could we have if we're going back?
We can think about this. This is not about the brainstorming part. This is about let's move on to the next movie, which is The Room. This one came out in 2003.
This is my reality.
Yeah, sorry, man. It's done. The Room is...
Robert's favorite movie coming up.
Yes, it is. I am wearing a shirt from one of the... I don't know if they even noticed it. I was wearing a shirt that has, "You're tearing me apart, Lisa." I have a signed book. I have two signed posters in my room.
And the football.
Yeah.
There's a football. There's plastic spoons. There's everything ready for this. There is a set pattern for this. If you are not familiar with... how you need to watch this, it's very simple. Do not watch The Room by yourself. You watch it with a group of people, hopefully with somebody that can walk you through this for the first time. And you can enjoy this movie for what it is. It is a good, bad movie. It might be the best bad movie. The only problem with it is this is all that Tommy Wiseau has ever done. He's made other products, but they're not great at all. Not even to enjoy otherwise. His life exists because of The Room. In fact, there is a there's the masterpiece coming out, which is a making of The Room. So neither one of these guys has seen The Room. They're gonna watch this. And it'll be the best thing they'll ever see.
You really hope
he's,
that, huh?
He's not lying. No, we had to sign something that said we would enjoy it before he let us in the house.
He showed us pictures with him and the director and the star together.
Damn straight.
He's just so excited to see this movie.
Maybe that was his dream. I don't know.
Yeah. This is it.
Actually, I think that's why
I have kidnapped these two guys. They've been.
I think that's how this conversation went. He was like, "The Room with Brie Larson that we just watched had just came out." He was like, "Oh, there's two movies in The Room. Wait a minute, maybe if I could start a podcast,
yeah, maybe
do ten episodes and then be like, hey,
I mushed my hands together.
He's been building this for quite some time.
Yeah,
yes,
slow burn here.
All right, so we're gonna watch
the Room. Long Game.
and discuss it a bit afterwards. So I'm going to play whatever preview I feel is necessary for you guys to prepare yourself for this. There's nothing to be prepared for. It just happens. So we're going to watch it.
Just let it happen.
We're going to watch it, and we're going to enjoy it, and we'll be back after this. Later.
A perfect world.
These are for you.
Thanks, honey. They're beautiful.
A perfect life.
I would do anything for my girl.
I love you, Lisa.
I love you, Johnny.
Surprise!
He provides for you. Darling, you can't support yourself.
I don't love him anymore. He didn't get his promotion. And he got drunk last night. And he hit me.
It's not true. I did not hit her.
Well, maybe you should have a girl, Mark. Yeah. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe I have one already. I don't know yet.
We can't do this anymore. Johnny's my best friend. This will be our secret.
Don't worry. You can trust me.
We are expecting you. That's about 10 weeks. Yeah. It's not, it's totally and we're back!
Me!
Uh-huh. there's very few reactions in life that give me such joy. And watching someone be forced to watch The Room is just one of those things. Herman! Was this the greatest experience that you've ever had in your life, or the greatest experience in anyone's life?
You know, one time I fell down real hard and broke my arm.
Right.
Was it playing football?
No, it was jumping off the top jumping of a house.
Jumping off a house, sure.
And I prefer that over watching this damn
oh,
movie.
Oh, what?
This is like, come on.
You're gonna watch the remake, though, aren't you?
No,
don't fucking lie.
No, well, I probably will.
It's not a a remake per se. It's on the book, The Disaster Artist, which Greg Sestero wrote, the co-star of this movie, about his life with hanging out with Tommy Wiseau, where he was like 23 when they met. He might have been in his late 40s whenever they first saw each other. Like they, you don't know how old he is. You don't know where he's from. You don't know his real name. They only make assumptions in the book, and. At one time, he used to live in Louisiana, and he worked at Schwegman's. Like, there was a Q&A where he pointed out that he worked at Schwegman's once, and everybody went, ooh, that's because they didn't know that. Because I think he lived in Chalmette or something like that.
Chalmation.
Yeah. So, eventually, he moved to San Francisco, and he sold, like, those flying birds, like the mechanical flying birds that you would have that you would give the tourists. Mm-hmm. And that's how he developed the nickname Birdman. And if you know in French, Wiseau is a loose translation to being like bird or flight or something like to that degree. So that's where that name came from, Tommy Wiseau. He took that money and created a textile magnet where he was selling like various clothing and so on and so forth. But he was taking acting classes as well as speech classes on the side. And he eventually raised enough money to where he created The Room. It was $5 million. That's how much it cost to make what you just saw today. And that was the finished product. It played for 2 weeks in downtown Hollywood, and that's it.
Mm.
And it could have been lost for time. We could have never seen this ever again if it weren't for two guys, Tim and Eric, from Tim and Eric, great show, great job, or whatever. They found it and absolutely fell in love with the movie.
Why?
and showed it. On Adult Swim on April Fool's for 3 straight years. And after that, it developed a cult following to where now Tommy Wiseau travels the world to answering people's questions that they want about The Room, and people have a Rocky Horror Picture Show-like experience while watching it. Clearly, Herman did not have that same experience while watching it. He's still upset about this.
How many other shows do you think he has to do to make up that $5 million?
How
many of those showings do you think he has to sit through to make back that $5
million? Well, I'll say this again. He didn't spend the $5 million. It was just $5 million was spent on this movie.
By whom?
Don't worry your head about this sort of thing.
It's not, no. Well, I want their name and address and phone number because I need to go look them up all I'm saying.
It's Hollywood. They do that. Don't even worry about
Herman,
that.
Herman, think of the movie we could write. We could get at least $10 million for that action.
No. Yeah. Herman, if you're going to write, star, direct, produce a movie... About you, what's it going to be about? Besides you,
probably me saving the world and getting a peanut butter pie. That's about it. You know.
You sure it's not that narcissistic dream we were talking about earlier?
Yeah. No.
You can make it artsy. It could make it.
Don't get me wrong. It's going to have a sex scene with Goldie Hawn.
You know she's like 70 now, right? Just throw that out there.
That was the first crush, you know. Got to put it in there just for the, you know, old time sakes, you know. And so what? She's still hot. Goldie Hawn, Jada Fire.
That's a jump.
Yeah, I go from
a respected actress to porn star to who's your third?
Belladonna. Might as well keep it in the family.
Okay.
Was that the end of the list or is it just those three?
No. It's gonna be more. It's gonna be a movie
This gonna be similar to like Hitman where the plot doesn't pick up for like the first half of the movie?
Yeah, basically.
You'll just be going into town for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And hooking up with different people.
Yeah. No, seriously though. But if I did a movie, it'd probably be a movie about a reflection on my life, so it wouldn't be too. It wouldn't probably won't have no sex scenes in it really if it's about my life.
Oh,
you know. I mean, I'm a virgin. I don't know how I got three kids. You know, I'm trying to figure that shit out. Go figure. But no, it's probably just be me. Some type of transportation job, driving, trivia involved, talking movies, and just basically being a dad.
Robert has to be in it too. Is that what you're saying?
I can see this being like some sort of hostage situation, and they need someone to solve trivia questions in order to save the hostages. Hey, so they call in the number one guy for trivia, Mr. Omega Prime.
That's a good one.
So you pull up and you're like, all right, so what's the questions? It's random ass trivia.
Okay.
Like, that's my specialty.
You gotta listen to the clue and the question. Listen to the clue and the question.
Yeah. So then they ask. So I can actually ask you one of the questions they had the other night that you weren't there for. In the past, since 1960, there have been 6 movies that have won Best Picture that have a famous first or last name of a famous person. Like, not just a famous person or last name, but an historical person, of a real historical person in the title. Can you name any of those 6 movies?
I got a couple.
And now we're thinking.
I got a couple.
The 6 hostages are dying while you think. Hurry up.
That's it.
You got any ideas?
I'm straight. It's not like I got a gun to my head. Let me think about it.
He's thinking right now. It's not Ben-Hur because that didn't exist.
I got 2 guesses.
It's not Aaron Brockovich.
And they got to be real people. It can't be a fake person.
It can't be The Godfather.
It can't be like Forrest Gump then.
Forrest Gump is not a real person. Sorry.
I mean, it could have been, you know.
Yes, there might have been someone named Forrest Gump at some point in life.
And it had to be Best Picture, right?
Best Picture winner, yes. Mm. Only 6 times.
Have a real person name in the title. This is how you do stalling tactics, you know, in case you haven't figured that out, people. You go ahead. You go and name your couple.
I'm thinking, is Selena one of them?
Nope. Selena did not win Best Picture.
No, he got to win Best Picture.
Someone had Madonna.
That's Evita.
Oh, that was the one I was thinking.
That also did not win Best Picture.
All right, well, JFK did, I think, didn't it?
Yes, JFK
one of them.
Did,
mm-hmm.
But I don't think that won Best Picture.
Oh, I thought it did.
No, it did not.
That's a good one. Since 1960, huh?
Yes.
And Hatfield came up with this question.
Yes,
he did. Motherfucker.
Did Ali by chance?
No, he did not.
I didn't think so.
He got nominated for Best Actor. Best Picture.
Best Picture. Mm. We're going around the circle again.
He didn't get no hints? Like, damn. This is crazy.
Only time you can find out is if you go to Trivia Nights, which happen everywhere around this fine Baton Rouge area. I host the one on Tuesdays over at the Burge.
Throw out some guesses at least. I got like 4. I'm on it right, but I mean.
Ain't none of them I'm thinking about names. I could think. I got Million Dollar Baby, Unforgiven. I can't think of nobody with a name.
Here goes one of the hostages.
Oh, well. Wasn't taken.
There's only 20 hostages left. Come on.
Shit. They're going to be some day hostages. I'm telling you that much. Since 1960. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Not a person.
You never met them?
The Pink Panther?
Nope, not a person.
I don't think that one anyway.
That's actually a diamond anyway.
Transformers?
Nope, sorry, not a person.
The Color Purple?
That is a color. It is not a person.
Let's see, ghosts.
People become ghosts, but there isn't like a famous ghost.
Whoopi Goldberg won an Oscar in this. So I'm just
there's only Ghost Dog as a famous person, so you can't say just ghost.
No, we're gonna be boycotting Ghost Dog. We ain't gonna mention Ghost Dog no more.
Why? What happened?
You don't like Forrest Whitaker?
No.
Oh, someone compared him to Forrest Whitaker recently. I don't remember who. Was it Rusty last week? He came and said,
"No." Nah.
Who said you were Forrest Whitaker?
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'm pretty sure he doesn't listen to this podcast.
All right, fair enough.
I'm pretty sure because you know why would he listen to this podcast? It's not like he got anything to do with this podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Jeremy that said you. Okay, I remember.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry you didn't enjoy this film as much as I enjoyed it.
Wait, hold on. Forget about the film. Give me the names of the six movies now.
Well, I knew two of them, if that helps. The ones I knew offhand were Gandhi and Shakespeare in Love. Those were the two.
Shakespeare in Love should not have won Best Picture that year.
No, it shouldn't, but it did. So mm-hmm. that is one of them.
Okay.
So the other ones were Amadeus.
Okay.
Schindler's List.
Okay.
Okay. Now I'm blanking. Let me think about this.
People are going to die, Robert.
Patton and
Patton.
I would never got Patton.
I would have not gotten that one.
And what was the last one? There was a final one, but I'm blanking on it right now. But
Trebek.
Yes, it's Alex Trebek.
Truman. I don't know. Roosevelt, something
could
like that.
Could be Truman Capote, that one.
Is well, that one Robert looking up that answer. Back to this rotten movie. I tried to get into it. It seemed good.
I think
it started off good. I mean, it started off with the San Francisco trolley. So, you know, it started off pretty good. But then after that, basically went down here. It looked like the movie was dubbed all over.
Well, I think you'd be more likely to sell
Lawrence
tickets.
Lawrence of Arabia, that was a fun one.
I think you'd be more likely to sell tickets of watching Robert watch this movie than to watch the movie itself.
Yeah, I think that's why it got a cult following. Like, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, that's the only thing I can compare it to because, you know, basically
because
in the movie.
Because I made that comparison?
Well, yeah. No, because you're doing,
I don't really know.
You know, you're doing things while the movie going on. Like, it's not the movie. Rocky Horror Picture Show is not that good of a movie. It's all the things you do while the movie's going on, throwing the rice, singing the song, and stuff like that, that made it more enjoyable for me.
I feel like Robert might have made up all those things we did during the movie, like himself, though.
I think that really happened. Like, the one part in the movie, which, you know, I'm not ruining it for none, they keep showing the Golden State Bridge, and they're showing it on a panoramic view. And they're like, go, 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 go. Basically trying to make it to the end of the bridge. And two out of three times they make it to the end. Third time it doesn't. Be like, oh.
It was like five at times. Five. I think you just were like staring at Robert like he was crazy the first few.
Yeah.
So right at the beginning, I handed everybody spoons because anytime you saw a spoon in that was framed, you had to throw a plastic spoon on the screen. AV Club has a viewer's guide. It's not quite what we did, but I'll tell you exactly what they say. So for spoon, nearly all the artwork in the film features spoons. Whenever one works appears on screen, yell spoon and hurl plastic picnic spoons at the screen. Fourth row from the screen essentially makes the whole project self-replenishing because the most spoons land there. You literally throw a handful of other handfuls fall in your lap. It's like being part of a plastic cutlery salmon migration. As the film trudges on, people start throwing spoons out of boredom, even if the scene doesn't require it.
I did that.
I only saw one picture of a spoon the whole time. It was just the same one, I think.
Sestesterone. You pretty much yell it any time Lost Brawny Quilted Picker Upper spokesman Greg Sestero is on screen. It is particularly fitting when he's about to be manly about something. Cancer. Lisa's mother alludes to having it at one point and then never mentions it again. Also, when she touches Lisa in the nose, some people shout, "I put my evil inside you."
Wow.
Denny. Used to herald the arrival of the tragic kidlet, as in kid adult. Also, every time Denny leaves a scene, it's proper to shout, "Goodbye, Denny." 1, 2, counting off BFF allusions. Sestero's character alludes to being Tommy's best friend between 5 to 7 times in the movie. Number is uncertain because whenever he alludes to it, everyone yells out which number they think it is. Usually people are hammered enough to say by 3 or 4 or 2/3 of the theater have no idea.
69.
Or think that it's ahead of anything. Focus, unfocus. The film is constantly going in and out of focus. If you didn't know this, he actually filmed with a high-definition camera on one side and a regular camera on the other. So if the high-definition version is clear, is just a little bit off to the side because he wasn't sure how these things worked. So
this guy's
well, we had to hope that there's going to be an IMAX version coming out. So
shooter yelled during Lisa's protracted neck twitch scene. The one scene where she's laying kind of weird, and every time she talks, you saw something coming out of her neck. Yelling, because you're a woman, after pretty much anything that regards a female character, started off as a dig at the film's casual misogyny. There are half a dozen places where it works, and it is hilarious. But quickly spiraled into non-sequiturs like it can be dumped after anything. It is the room equivalent of adding in bed to fortune cookie fortunes. Every time I watch it, I am forced to ask myself, who is the woman that broke Tommy's heart? Who is the evil bitch responsible for this movie? Various things also to yell out. Alcatraz for Alcatraz or anything framed by the bars. Go, 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 go. Use the cheer on tracking shots of the bridge. Celebrate when it makes it all the way to the bridge. Express your disappointment when it doesn't. Everywhere you look, everywhere. Sung over the houses that look like the houses close to Full House. Meanwhile, back in San Francisco, whenever a shot uses the iconography of the city to verify that, yes, we have not left San Francisco. There's also saying hi to Tommy when he appears to look down at the corner of the screen during the party scene. This entails running down to the screen and hanging out toward the bottom right edge of the corner. I didn't do it, but there was a point whenever he's outside, he actually goes right there, and some people will be on the side while watching, go, "Hi, Johnny!" That sort of thing. And so on and so forth. So there, okay. Yes, it is not quite the level of Rocky Horror Picture Show, but it is damn close.
No, but I mean, I can see how some, because like while the movie was going on, I just started randomly throwing spoons, you know. So some of it was just to aggravate your cat, though. But
all right, so when you ask for the room later on, and when you say I got to show this to my friends, you will slowly become part of this cult.
No, I'm not doing it. I couldn't do it. I did it once. The only movie I knew was a bad movie that I recommend to people, and I just did it because I just wanted to fuck with them. Was what's the movie with Steve Odek? You know, the one who plays Saul. I never say his name right.
Which one?
The one who plays Saul. Better Call Saul.
Oh, okay. So Bob Odenkirk?
Yeah, I say Steve. But Kung Pao?
Enter Kung the Fist? Pao. That's Kung not Pao. Him.
Enter the Fist.
Yeah, that isn't him.
That's not him? I always thought that was him.
That's the one that has...
I always recommended that
it's
to him.
I think it's like Tom Shadyac, but he's the guy that directed Ace Ventura?
Yes, yes. Okay. Yeah, and I always... I was like, hey, what movie was
But that's not Bob Odenkirk.
No. Okay. But they'd be like, hey, so we go see? I said, yeah. And then when they came back and see me, like, man, why the fuck you recommended that damn movie to us? I'm like, because. that's it, because. It was a bad movie.
You will be happy to note there isn't another one. Like, there's no other Birdemic. So there's no other film that I can drag you through the mud like this one.
I'm pretty sure.
The House. Well, our House.
I'm
pretty sure. Have you watched that one yet?
No, I watched The Wish that Rob recommended.
Yes, I recommend to everybody.
He'll
I
make
see.
You watch House. just be aware.
By the way, go see The Witch. The Witch, best film this year. Easily. Everybody will love The Witch.
I seen House, the horror movie, but not House.
It's a Japanese film.
No, I didn't see the Japanese film.
The guy wanted to make Jaws, but he wanted to make basically what he had around him, and it was inspired by Jaws. But it said instead of Jaws, it's a house.
So the house is eating people?
Yeah, to a degree. You'll have to see in order to find out.
Is it too well?
We throw spoons to the screen for no reason.
I don't know why I'm setting myself up for this, but can we do that? Like watch. House and House.
Are there two houses?
Yeah, there's another horror film called House.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can sign up for that one, guys.
No, the first horror House is pretty good. The first they made some sequels to the House series I'm talking about. You know, but the first one was pretty good. You know, hence that's why they was able to make a sequel. You know, but this was
something else.
I mean, it's. The bad acting is one thing. It's just like the bad writing and like at one point she's telling.
I like when they contradict themselves. Yeah, she's like, "I need to tell you about my problems. Don't ask me about my problems."
Yeah, basically like, "Hey, I think for myself. So what you think I should do?"
Yeah.
There is a troubled writer who moves into a haunted house after inheriting it from his aunt, which is the one that Herman is talking about, and I have not seen. The one that I am I have not seen it. The one I have seen came out in 77. It is just called House, and I'm pulling it up right now. But yeah, I might still own it. I know I bought it.
I think you got off Netflix that last time we watched it, wasn't it?
No, I got it.
Years ago?
Yeah, there's a... guess what? I got a Criterion of it. That's where I got it.
I figured that much. Those Criterion films.
Yes! Yes! You will never escape Criterion films! Yes, ever!
I see that.
All right, so after seeing both these movies, which film deserves the title The Room?
I don't think that was about a room at all, the one we just watched.
Nope, certainly isn't. Never is. And
film.
I mean,
they didn't even say room at any
beyond
point.
Beyond just being a bad movie, there's literally nothing having to do with the room in that whole movie.
Nope.
Okay, let me try to qualify if I can. The only reason I could think they call it a room is because that's where most of the action took place.
But it was multiple rooms, though, that had that stuff going on.
You get it, huh, Robin?
I'd call it Johnny. Like that's all it really needs to be called. Or if you want to go as far as to say, "Oh, hi, Johnny," which is what what he would say to other people, like, "Oh, hi, Mark." Mm-hmm. "Oh, hi, Lisa. How's it going?" What is that good? Hi, Johnny.
Yeah, hi, Johnny.
Johnny Five?
No.
Who's Johnny?
No, God, please, no. That's what we should call
where's
it.
Where's Johnny?
Johnny Dangerously is what we're calling it.
Who baby is this? I'm trying to think of some good things about this movie. I can't think. I mean,
Spoon?
Definitely breast cancer.
Yeah, I was going to say breast cancer.
Go. Plastic spoons.
Roses?
We're calling this
roses
movie.
Is a big part plastic of this movie. Spoons. Every time you look up, there has roses somewhere in this movie.
I'm fine with Johnny. I have no problem with keeping the other one. So guess what, guys?
Howdy, everybody.
Room stays room. The Room, you got to be changed to Johnny. Because that is really what this movie is about. Johnny and his horrible relationship.
Life.
Yeah, horrible relationship with a woman that is manipulating his life because of something that happened to him in his past.
Kind of everybody is manipulating him in this movie.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's pretty clear.
And listen, people.
He's the world's doormat.
I know y'all don't listen to my movie recommendations, but I'm going to tell y'all straight up. Please. The Witch. Go see The Room. With Tommy Wiseau. Please go see it.
You can knock on my door.
No, don't go see it. I'm just fucking
with plastic y'all. Spoons. Bring a football so we can play football.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll watch it.
He'll be more than happy to have a showing.
Herman, where can people find you this week?
They can find me on Facebook under Herman Omega Prime Davis or Instagram under Omega Prime
79. What?
Yes, sir.
Nick, where can people find you?
I'm going to be at home on the couch watching TV most of this week, Robert.
Watching The Room. As what everybody else
at least two or three more times.
There is also plenty of other stuff to do around town if you want to see Herman. He will be at various trivia events if you want to see him. Possibly shaking hands, signing autographs, throwing footballs, you know, kissing babies. He always does.
Yes, basically.
There is also plenty of other events that are happening around town, like open mics on Wednesdays over at the station. Or you can even go to the latest spoof night, which will happen on July 1st. We will be making fun of the movie Demolition Man.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I tell you what, you can also find me. I got to give a plug to my boy Danny Brickyard South underneath the overpass, underneath the.
Oh, I thought you meant Denny from like The Room.
Oh, no.
Like, you and Denny, huh?
Nah, Danny. I mean, he's a cool guy. He gave me some good news, which I don't think is my place to tell his business out. But
ooh.
Go to Brickyard South if you want to find out the good news and just tell him Herman Omega Prime David sent you, or like Robert called me, the mayor, to tell him the mayor sent you. And Danny will have a good time with you. Might buy your first drink for you.
Thanks for coming out, guys. Thank you for putting up with this movie. I appreciate you guys, because I watched
for
this
my
alone,
time,
and it's
I
never
it out from the first time.
I watched this by myself, and it's not as enjoyable to watch other people.
Oh yeah, you were just having a good time looking at my face
great.
And laughing like
that was great.
I was like a couple of times. I'm like, what the? And Robert is already laughing. Like,
the truly sad showings are when Robert does a podcast by himself with the movie.
Yes, that
he's done
do it every day.
He's a collection.
For Robert Rao,
Herman Omega Prime Davis,
and Nick Gariano.
Good night from the There Can Be Only One podcast, and see you later. Yeah, it's all set up here, so I don't have to bother like bringing in anything. Yeah, I don't need it on this table. No one else does. There's occasional catnip that people confuse for weed. On this table. Other than that, it's the same stuff.
So now we need to do is get her to jump up here and do our
testing. She kind of does it anyway. It's not like a... That's not the one.
Had to go to a funeral.
The thing is, like, that's a random way to start a story. Well, you know, just nonchalantly.
It's just banter, you know. But basically, went to a funeral first, and at this funeral was a friend of mine that I've been knowing since middle school. And for respect, I'm not going to mention. They have a very famous relative. Like, it was my friend's father who died, and his relative of his is, you know, his cousin, his father's nephew. And he's doing a reality show, and he wanted to put the funeral on the reality show. So the family allowed it and stuff, but this family is very, like, private. They don't really like all the drama. They're not into all the crying out at the funeral, falling out. Oh, Lord, take it with me. Oh, man, I'm gonna jump into the grave.
Where was the funeral? Was it in town?
It was at Winfield.
Okay.
And so he came through and stuff, and it was just so funny. First of all, he was like 40 minutes late.
Damn.
So they waited for him because they like, okay, we'll wait for him. And the mother.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, the mother actually got up and apologized to people in the funeral, like saying, because the funeral itself was going to be short. I mean, literally, this was the program was the reading of the obituary, a poem written by the daughter that was about 5 to 7 minutes long.
Was this relative Brett Michaels? Did he have like all the Rock of Love chicks follow him afterwards?
He's similar to him. Okay. Very similar to him. I might tell you the name later on. But and then the body, right? So it wasn't that much drama filled funeral. Nobody was falling out or nothing like that.
Right.
So they created some more drama. So everybody about to leave out. I see the cameraman basically come out of Winfield, and he's like got his camera focused on Plank Road. I'm like, why the hell is he just filming Plank Road? Then all of a sudden we hear sirens. Like, the fire truck coming. Oh, wait, why the fire truck pulling into the funeral? What? They actually caught. Basically, I don't know if it was manufactured or was it real. Someone had to get ambulance help that, you know, happens they're going to be on this reality show. So that was kind of weird and stuff. And like, the family. The media family of the father deceased, they didn't really
care
for.
Did you see your body at the bottom and you were floating above it? And you're like, oh, what's this ambulance for? It's me!
Yes, I got an out-of-body experience, Robert. Nah. But other than that...
You didn't want to play in on with this? It feels like that would have been a perfect time for you to come out of your shell. You know, just like to... it's like, oh, you're late! You're 40 minutes late! I challenge you to a duel!
Well, I came out later on that night because the last place I went that day... was actually a gay bar, so
right.
Yeah, you know,
which one? Splash? Other ones in Splash?
Went to George's, which I thought was part of the
George's.
I thought
yes.
It was the burger place, but they say no, that's George.
It's the one on Main Street, right?
No, George's. There was on, right by the bridge.
There was a early on when I started doing comedy. There was a comedy show there, and I wasn't sure at the time. I didn't tell my parents I was doing open mic comedy, and I just imagined myself like
shame.
I imagined myself like being caught by my parents walking out of a gay bar, and I'd have to go, "Yeah, I'm gay," as opposed to say I do open mic comedy.
I can understand that logic.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Hey, whatever.
Yeah, so that was my.
The funny, I don't know if it still exists, the thing that I did not, I thought was the funniest thing about that place was it's incredibly small. It still fit in two billiard tables. I don't know how. But it also had a vending machine in the back.
I didn't see the vending machine.
Vending machine is gone. Yay. It was snacks if you didn't want anything from beyond the bar.
I was trying to just like not make eye contact.
Oh, that's crap.
Yeah, no. So I was just like, yeah, I take my beer. Look up at the sky, yeah.
Yeah, whatever, man. We know you were macking. All right.
Yeah, I got some digits, though. I'm a handsome kind of dude.
All right.